Welcome to Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group.
We just got to keep it up, you know, keep believing in us, just keep growing, taking the right step, and that's up.
The guys in this locker room, there's no quitting any of them. It's a mindset of how you approach each day, and we got the guys that are going to come in here and work their butts off.
Caught by T.Y., he's at the 40, he's at the 30, he might go, he's at the 10, touchdown, T.Y. Hilton.
Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts conservation partner.
I love the competitive nature of this team. I love the football character of this team. We all do. Dedicated, determined, and driven.
He's throwing one down the middle. Doyle's got it. Scores. Jack Doyle into the end zone with a touchdown.
Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com.
He's hit the ball. He's loose, and the Colts had it, picked it up. Touchdown.
Now, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Colts Roundtable Live, presented each week by Citizens Energy Group. Proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. I'm Bob Lamy, and we'll be joined by former Colts Jim Sorge and Joe Wrights later in the show. They'll be taking your phone calls and your tweets. You can dial the Verizon hotline tonight at 317-639-COLT. To interact with us on the show tonight, and you can also reach us through the McDonald's inbox. Tweet your questions to the show at Colts Roundtable. In just a bit, we'll be visiting with the Colts defensive coordinator, Ted Monachino, regarding the game yesterday against the Rams. But first of all, we're going to begin the show tonight by visiting with Colts head coach Chuck Pagano, presented by Lightbound. For all your cloud service needs, call Lightbound. And we'll get the show started tonight with Pagano's playbook presented by Citizens Energy Group. So, Coach, after the game was over last night, what was your message to the team?
Well, we all had a hand in it, and we all take ownership in it, and it starts with me, and we're all accountable. You know, what we put out there on tape is what we are right now. And the biggest thing is how we respond, how we respond to adversity during the football game, and then how we're going to respond, you know, following a loss like that. I know in my heart and soul that, you know, that team, they played better than us, and they beat us the way they beat us, but we're a lot better team than we showed. And, you know, it's one of 16 games, and it's a long, long season. And how we respond is going to define, you know, exactly, you know, what we're made of, the type of character we have in the locker room, type of character we have on the coaching staff. And I know exactly how that'll happen. And, you know, we had these guys in here today. We looked at the tape, and we made the corrections. We told it exactly how it is. We don't hide anything. Again, we're all accountable, and we all understand what the expectations are. And we didn't play well. There were some bright spots. We did some good things. You know, our run defense was good. Our sudden change, you know, defense was good. We can't give up big plays in the passing game, you know, which led to, you know, three touchdown drives. We know we can't do that. Move the ball some on offense early. Missed an opportunity early. Can't turn the ball over. We know that. You have four takeaways. You know, you give them four takeaways, four turnovers in a game. You're not going to win. I don't care where it's at. It's, you know, you lose 96-97% of the time when you're minus three in the turnover margin. 0-for-10, you know, on third down. All those things. We know everything that happened. And so now the biggest thing, along with the message last night and the message today, is you have to move on. And we can't have a hangover. You have to get over it. Again, it's 1-16, and it's a long, long season. We understand that. And we're going to take them one game at a time. And the biggest cure for the way we all feel right now is we go back to work and we correct the things that need to be corrected, and we got to play better and ultimately get a win. And it's a whole different atmosphere, as we all know.
All right, that was Coach Pagano's playbook presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. When you look at the tape, it's never as good as you think it is. Was it as bad as you thought it was?
Yeah, in spots. You know, in spots it was. But, you know, again, we talked about the turnovers. You can't turn the ball over. You can't, you know, throw two interceptions that are returned for touchdowns. You can't get stripped of a football have it land in your own end zone and give up 2 points on a safety. You can't spot a team, you know, or give a team in that scenario 16 points. You're not going to win. You can't overcome that stuff. You know, when the game's close and you can stay two-dimensional, you got run-pass option, you know, offensive line. There was a little bit of push there, but we provided, you know, some protection there. But once you become, you know, one-dimensional and you get behind on the scoreboard the way we were, defenses tee off on you. You know, and they're no longer, you know, respecting the possibility of you even handing the thing off because you can't, and you're playing catch-up, and it makes it really difficult. It's hard enough to protect, you know, in a normal situation, let alone when you're down, you know, 30 points, whatever it is. So, you know, there's some – again, there was good things like you mentioned, but there's some things that we got to clean up, and they're all things that, you know, we can control, you know, making great decisions, you know, with the football, taking care of the football, communication, you know, in the back end. Everything is fixable. You know, that's the one thing. You know, and then like we talked last night, you know, it's not an effort deal. It's not a toughness deal. It's not a want to type of deal. You know, these guys are passionate about football and they love football, you know, and they played their tails off. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about the details, and it's about taking your preparation and your practice from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to the game and not getting away from that on game day.
You don't make excuses. Nobody does. The heat yesterday, pretty intense, and we haven't had that much, that kind of weather here. Was it a factor at all yesterday?
You know, for the most part, I thought our guys, you know, hung in there and did a good job. You know, we lost, you know, Anthony Walker there with a hamstring that went out, and so we were down, you know, down a linebacker there, and, you know, Antonio Morrison came in today. He got an elbow during the game, and somewhere in the second quarter, hyperextending it and basically playing one-armed out there and would not come out of the game. Know a little bit more on his status later today and tomorrow. You know, I thought our trainers and all those people did a great job of preparing our guys, you know, for that. Knew it was coming, but it was hot. Again, the preparation prior to the kickoff and then what those guys did during the game, you know, helped us immensely.
All right, it's put that thing in the rearview mirror. You got Arizona coming in. Practice on Wednesday. Do you change the way you practice at all this week?
Oh, we had good preparation last week. We didn't play well. We didn't execute. We didn't do the little things. You know, no, you don't. And it'll be a normal Wednesday. We'll introduce, you know, first and second down, what they do in all three phases. And it's business as usual. And can we practice better? Yes. Can we be more detailed? Yes. Can we prepare harder and smarter? Yeah, and we'll do that. And, you know, as coaches, we'll emphasize that, and the players will take ownership in that. And you just keep working, and you go out there to get better. You know, there's not an easy fix other than just keep working and getting better. We played a lot of young guys, you know, yesterday. There's a bunch of guys out there that, you know, got their feet wet for the first time. But that's valuable experience and reps. And they'll be better this week because of it, you know, and they're not rookies anymore, you know. And, you know, TJ Green's going to be, you know, a better corner this week than he was last week. First time going out. We knew there was going to be some speed bumps. You know, there is for all pro corners in this league that have played 8-9 years playing that spot. So we'll go out and we'll prepare as best we can, normal week, and get ourselves ready to go.
Pretend one of your best friends, Bruce Arians, is not listening. Do you change people, schemes, anything going into this game?
You know, we know Bruce. Bruce knows us. You know, no. I mean, you can put so much, you know, stuff into that you get away from, you know, what really matters, and that's, you know, playing good, sound, fundamental football. You know, and blocking and tackling, throwing and catching, and playing great situational football. And he'll have his team ready. We'll have our team ready. They need a win. We need a win. You know, we're going to want to beat that team. He's going to want to beat us. We know that. And so, you know, we'll prepare accordingly.
You mentioned that both teams need a win. Isn't it amazing how things change once you get a win? preseason, you lost the first two, beat Pittsburgh. Things changed. Is that a situation that can also happen in the regular season? Let's say you have a great week of practice. It translates to the field. You beat Arizona. How much different will it be next Monday?
Entirely different world. You know that. We've sat in here many, many times, you know, coming in after a bad, bad loss, you know, and then winning a huge game, and what the atmosphere is like, what the attitudes are like, confidence, you know, get a little bit of your swagger back, you know, everything. And so there's nothing like winning, believe me. And we'll do everything within our power to prepare and go play well to get one.
And next week, thanks, Coach, and thanks, as always, for your time with us after every game. Next week, of course, the Colts will be entertaining Arizona. Kickoff at 1 o'clock in the home opener. And that was Chuck Pagano's Playbook, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Make conservation tips a part of your playbook. Visit citizensenergygroup.com for helpful tips. Again, you can join us on the Verizon hotline tonight at 317-639-COLT or reach the McDonald's inbox by tweeting to the Colts Roundtable. Jim Sorgi and Joe Wrights will be here later in the show to take your questions. Next segment, we're going to visit with Ted Monachino, the Colts defensive coordinator. This is Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group, proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. The Colts are also brought to you by Meijer. When it comes to football, we're part of your team. Meijer has everything you need for Colts tailgating, including Indianapolis favorites like team apparel and lucky horseshoes. Meijer, your home store advantage. Now, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Laney.
Welcome back to Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group. Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts' conservation partner. For conservation tips, go to citizensenergygroup.com. Citizens Energy Group, we're all citizens. It's time now for the Methodist Sports Medicine Injury Report. Methodist Sports Medicine, the orthopedic specialist since 1984, team physicians of the Colts and you. The Colts suffered only one injury in the game yesterday. Rookie linebacker Anthony Walker was ruled out of the game in the first half with a hamstring injury, and we'll find more out about that in just a minute. Our special guest for this segment of the show is the defensive coordinator of the Colts, Ted Monachino. Ted has been around for the last couple of years in this position with the Colts, and we asked him, considering yesterday you've looked at the film, how did you assess what happened yesterday on your side of the ball?
Well, thank you, Bob. It's a pleasure to be here, first of all. Secondly, as you look at the tape, you're looking for both the positives and the negatives that you see, and there were plenty of positives. There are a lot of things we have to clean up. I think that, you know, from a run game standpoint, I think we made a big jump there. I know it's encouraging to see our big players in there setting firm edges and knocking guys back inside and tackling a good back. And it wasn't a matter of they didn't run it at us. They attempted to run it at us, and we were able to slow them down at a pretty good pace there. The other thing that we saw that we were encouraged by was we got a lot of young players, a lot of good reps, and so that'll be a big part of their growth and their maturation in the system. It's always good to get those guys in the game as soon as you can, especially in the first half, and we were able to do that with a lot of young players. So we would expect that exposure and that experience would help them grow coming down the road. Some things that we've obviously got to get better at is we can't give up big plays and we can't miss tackles. In our defense, we've got to make every tackle that's presented to us, whether it's a space tackle in the open field or whether it's a gang tackle in short space. We've got to be better tackling, and I know that that'll be a big emphasis for us this week. The other thing is that we've been so determined about, you know, since the start of the OTAs in the spring was to get some ball production, and we weren't able to do that. So for us to be a good team, it's going to require us to get some short fields for our offense, and it's that way across the league. Anybody that can create some short fields and win some turnover battles has a better chance to win, and we've got to be a big part of that.
Yesterday, I thought at times your defense did very, very well in short field situations. For example, the fumble you get them over and they have to kick a field goal. Three instead of seven is always good.
Right. Usually field goals don't beat you. It's when you give up the one long throw in each drive that leads to a touchdown, or you have the one mental error down in the low red area that costs you points. And those are the things that we've got to avoid. We've got to get those corrected, and we've already pointed those things out to our guys, and they are on board and they understand. And we've got several things that we need to clean up, but we've got the guys that can do it. We've got the right guys for the job to do that, and they're determined and they're not discouraged. They have not wavered one bit from a character standpoint, and they are just as fired up to play defense as they were yesterday.
24-hour rule. Forget this. Let's move on to Arizona. You've got a week to get ready. After yesterday, do you change philosophies during this week at all?
Well, I don't think we can afford to do that. I think that one thing that we realize is it's difficult to make a quantum leap across the system. You know, I think that we got some things solved yesterday. I think we showed that we can play run defense. I think we showed that we can keep the ball surrounded and get it on the ground with a good back. Now we've just got to move on to the next step, and that's trying to find a way to create and generate some pass rush and some turnovers, and we've got to find a way to get some tighter matches on some of the down-the-field throws. Those are our biggest priorities going into the week.
Arizona, they might be without a running back, and then again, you can't count on that. But when you look at an Arizona team, we know Bruce Arians pretty well. He's always going to come in with a good mental frame to get things, and they're mad. They lost their first game. Do you prepare any differently for a team like Arizona? Do they present different problems?
Well, all the teams do, and the thing I'll tell you about the running back situation is I know looking at their roster and looking at their depth chart right now, they've got three guys that are really good players, so I don't think they'll necessarily change their philosophy, same as we wouldn't. But I will tell you that when you have to defend a system like Bruce Arians, and you understand that there are common threads that run throughout, you've got to make sure that you handle first things first. You got to keep the main thing with Bruce. And if you can't stop the run, then you're going to have a long, long day. So hopefully our success yesterday in the run game will carry over for another week, and we'll be able to force them to do some things that aren't at the top of their list in their game plan. But we know that he understands his system, and their offensive coaches and players do, and they'll have adjustments where they need to have them, and they'll take their shots when they can. So, yeah, it's a big challenge, but I'm excited about it, and I'm excited for our guys to get back out there again. I wish we were playing tomorrow.
I think the players do, too. Get that taste out of your mouth. You mentioned the young players you've got. They got a lot of reps. They saw a lot of things yesterday. How much can that help those guys moving forward?
Well, the one thing that you know now is the first game jitters don't have to happen again. They've already had that, and it should help them. It should help them a lot in moving down the road and becoming better pros and understanding that the speed of the game is the mental speed of the game, and we've got to be light years ahead next week compared to yesterday. The thing I'll tell you is, in speaking with those young players today, all of them are in a good frame of mind. None of them feel like they don't belong in this league. I think that from a consistency standpoint, that's where we've really got to make a big jump with those guys. They've got to be able to play down in and down out, and we know that they're going to get tested. So they know that, and we as a staff know that, so we've got to make sure that we manage them in a way that they can be successful more often than not.
This staff, nobody makes excuses for anything, but I think it's fair to bring up the fact you had 11 new starters yesterday. Most of them hadn't even played a game, or a lot of them hadn't even played a game in the NFL. That first game, you mentioned the jitters. How much else can it help having, okay, now I know what this is all about?
Well, it makes all the difference in the world. I think that just like at every level of football, the first time a guy goes out there in whatever level it is, from junior high all the way to us, it's the same. They don't really know what to expect until they see it, and then once they've seen it once, you hope that they grow. It's got to help us. I know that's our plan, is for it to help us. I also know that it falls down to those players to take advantage of what they learned yesterday and use it in the game next week.
Your front three can be awfully good, but they don't really know each other either. They've all played in the league, but not with each other. Again, did that help that that situation yesterday.
Absolutely. I think those three guys, and there's actually five of them that rolled in and out of there, and I think as long as they understand what each position is required to do, I think that each of them then understands what they have to do. If we can stay sound and we can create a nice flat square wall in the run game, regardless of what position they're playing, I think that helps us, obviously. The thing that I know is those guys play for each other. Gary's done a great job of preparing them. From a technique standpoint, they're getting better every week and every day. So we would expect that to be the same going forward.
Final question. You've got a great room coaching-wise where you are. How do those guys handle yesterday? Bounce back, ready to go today, I would assume.
Well, the thing I know is they're all great teachers, and they have the best interest of our players at heart, and we're going to put together a plan. As a group, we're going to put together a plan that fits their talent, that each guy can play well in. And I know they can't wait to get started on Arizona, but I know that there's an awful lot of good teaching going on in those meeting rooms today.
Ted, as always, we thank you for the time, and I know things will get better. You win on beat Arizona on Sunday, you're right back in this division, and it's like last week never happened.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
Ted Monachini, our special guest, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, and we appreciate his time and his insight. Colts Radio is now available on TuneIn and iTunes. Listen to exclusive Colts Radio content anytime, anywhere. Just simply type in Colts in the search field and stay up to date on the Colts on your schedule on TuneIn and iTunes. Now, when we come back, we're going to join Roundtable Live. We'll welcome in Jim Sorgi and Joe Wrights. We're going to take your phone calls and your tweets. Reach us on the Verizon hotline at 317-639-COLT or the McDonald's inbox by tweeting your questions to @ColtsRoundtable. We're back after this on Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
We now return to Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group, proud to be the Colts' conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. Colts football is also brought to you by Salesforce. Visit Colts.com to view the most recent feature of Instant Access, presented by Salesforce. Connect with your customers in a whole new way at Salesforce.com. Here again is Bob Lamy, the voice of the Colts.
Welcome back to Colts Roundtable Live. This segment is sponsored by Regions Bank, and we welcome in a couple of good friends and a couple of guys who know the game of football extremely well and can help you with your questions, and this is the time to get in charge. Jim Sorgi and Joe Wrights are here. They're going to take your questions on the Colts, and you can reach us right now at the Verizon hotline. The number is 317-639-COLT. Or you can do it through the McDonald's inbox by tweeting your questions to @ColtsRoundtable. All right, as we mentioned, Jim's here. Jim, you get enough sleep last night?
No, Bobby, I did not. But, you know, it's the way it is when you're coming home from L.A. and you got three boys that are going to get up at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and you get in at a little after 3 o'clock. That's kind of what's going to happen, right?
Wait till we go to Seattle.
Yeah.
They'll be up and gone before you get home.
See, the problem is I feel great today, but I know tomorrow and the next day I'm going to be kind of dragging my behind a little bit. So,
who's this guy on my left?
That's an awfully big gentleman you got sitting to your left.
6'7". What? He's down to 275.
He looks great, right?
All these old linemen that have left here have done a very, very smart thing. Joe, you're down to 275. Jeff Saturday, Ryan Dean, Rick DeMulling, all these guys. How did you do this? I mean, I can't lose a pound. You guys are losing 75, 80 pounds. What is this?
Well, those guys were good mentors to me when I was playing. And when I retired, and they both said, you know, Saturday and Dean, lose the weight quick, get a plan and stick to it. So I had a goal to get down to 275 by the end of summer. And I hit my goal. So feeling good. And, you know, Jim, you were talking about getting home late. You know, not to rub it in, but I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I got up at 5:30, worked out, did a kindergarten drop-off and a preschool drop-off. So my juices are charged up right now, so I got a lot of energy.
How has life changed? Now, do you miss the game?
I do, and it was definitely weird yesterday. You know, I'm sitting there in church in Mass Sunday morning. I got butterflies because I know what the guys are doing. It's 3 hours before the game. They're on the bus. They're getting ready to go and watching the game. You miss it, but then, you know, you talk about those long flights home and the soreness on Monday morning. You know, I don't miss that part of it. You know, the body feels good and enjoying time with my family, four beautiful young children. So helping my wife Jill out and spending a lot of time in carpool and dropping off, picking. You got one in kindergarten, one in preschool, doing that stuff. And I'm going back to school right now to get my MBA from the Kelly School at Indiana. So I've switched to a lot of my physical exercise. Now I'm working my brain and trying to relearn all the stuff I forgot from college 10 years ago.
10 years? That long?
Yep.
Ooh. Hey, let's go to the phones. Ken is up first, and very apropos, Ken wants to know, well, let's have Ken tell you. What do you want to know, Ken?
I want to ask, first I wanted to say, as Colts fans, we need to just keep backing our team. Forget all the bull crap that's up there, just believe in blue and keep going. And my question is, how do you feel the Colts offensive line did?
Joe, that's right up your alley.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Ken. You know, it's a loss, and it's one loss, but it's one of 16, and there's a lot of games to be played left. But, you know, I thought the offensive line played pretty well yesterday. We ran the ball well, and we had some really big runs. I remember one time we were backed up on our own six, and that's a tough time. Teams know you're going to run the ball, and Frank punched one out for about a 20-yard gain. But when you think about Deshaun in their first-ever start at center, which, you know, few, if any, undrafted guys have ever done. Jeremy Vojinovic is starting his first ever NFL game at left guard. And then Jack Muhort with the position switch at right guard. So really you have three guys starting a position for the first time. And I know we gave up some sacks and some hits, but a lot of those happened when the score dictates it. You know, it's 24-3, it's 31-3. And now the Rams know. Wade Phillips, who's a darn good defensive coordinator, he knows we're throwing the ball. And then they start to dial up the blitzes, the pressure, the line stunts. And a lot of times that's kind of when the wheels came off. But early on in the game and when the score, you know, was fairly even, I thought the O-line did a pretty good job. And I was really impressed with the push we were getting in the run game. I was impressed with that.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I mean, we outrushed them, 75 yards to 63 yards. So I thought we did a good job running the
football. On a lot less carries, too.
Yeah, and I think if they stick together and keep that line together, they'll keep getting better. But you're exactly right. When the score dictates that you're going to have to throw the ball to try to get back in the game, especially against a defense like the Rams that, even without Aaron Donald, have pass rushers that are athletic, that are physical, get after the quarterback, Wade Phillips can dial it up, they're going to pin their ears back and come after you, especially in obviously obvious passing down. So the four sacks, you got to take those with a grain of salt based on how the game went. But all in all, I thought the offensive line was okay.
And from my experience, too, when you're on the road, and you know, Jim, with the crowd noise going, now it's 3rd and 8, you can't hear, you're on silent count. That's a big difference, too, especially for guys that are new, their first, you know, couple starts and playing next to each other for the first time. So as those guys grow together more, grow more comfortable, now we'll get to see them at home next Sunday when crowd noise won't be a factor. I just expect them to keep improving as the season goes on.
Back to the phones, and Steve is up next. Good evening, Steve. Welcome to Colts Roundtable Live. You there, Steve?
I'm taking my call.
Go ahead.
My question is, I know we've kind of beat to death the, you know, why did Colts go ahead and on Max play of scoring a touchdown, you know, why did they speed up and everything? But my real question around that is, with using the history of how well Turbin ran in the short game last year, why wasn't that our number one option, first down and goal? Thanks, guys. I'll listen to your answer.
That's an interesting one because it crossed all of our minds, but I think, well, Jim, you take a shot first.
Yeah, I think the speed of how you wanted to run the play right there after he got knocked out of bounds, or essentially we all thought was a touchdown that didn't get reviewed and we didn't really give it time to get reviewed, but the speed of which we ran the first down play with Mac didn't really you couldn't really substitute a Robert Turbin in there for a Marlon Mack. You were just trying to get to the line of scrimmage, get the ball snapped and kind of pound it up in there and get the touchdown. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. Obviously, right now you're probably looking at it, man, I wish we would have just took our time, probably looked at the replay and kind of made a different decision. But the decision was made. You try to pound it up there, you run it quick. He slips on the turf, which happened quite a few times yesterday. We had quite a few guys slip. And then once he slipped, then you're at second down. And – at that point, you lose a yard, so you're not on the one or inside the one anymore. You're around the two, two and a half, and then it makes kind of like a different call altogether. Wouldn't you agree, Joe?
Yeah, I agree. And then you get to that second down play, and again, when it's in the end zones, you know, it gets really loud. And it looked like there was a miscommunication because Brockers kind of came free a little bit. And on that second down play, and then you got to throw it on third down, and we had the incomplete pass. But, you know, a lot of times you can be very successful when it's a big play. You rush up to the line. The defense isn't set. The defensive linemen are moving around. The O-line's in a three-point stance. Boom, you fire off, and you get in the end zone.
Yeah, you're like, let's go, yeah.
Exactly. And like you said, you know, you might slip or there's a little miscommunication. Unfortunately, we didn't punch the ball in there. But you talk about you know, big play in the game. You get first and goal there and get to 10-7 versus 10-3. That's a big difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that we talked about it yesterday. It's like when good things would happen, something bad would happen. Like really good drive to come back and kind of combat the pick six you just threw. You get it down to the one. You really want a touchdown there, and you got to settle for a field goal. That third down play comes, your receivers kind of run into each other. It was almost another pick right there, but you don't get the touchdown, you get the three. That being a 10-3 game at that point instead of a 10-7 game, I thought was kind of a turning point in that game, because 10-7 is completely different than 10-3.
And there was another third and one later when we threw a pass. Got to understand, with Wade Phillips, Robert Turbin's 3-1 conversion rate is tremendous. He probably had some special defenses for that as well.
Yeah.
Okay, the Colts yesterday had one sack. That means the Big Mac is yours free. Buy one, and then you get one free at participating McDonald's today. And Papa John's new pan pizza is baked on a thick golden crust for a delicious crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside pizza experience. Get Papa John's new pan pizza with three toppings for only $10. Are we eating one of those right now? That's what I thought.
We sure are.
Matt Taylor responsible for that?
He always is.
I got your grub. I got your food over there, Bobby. Dinner time. We're good to go, my man. Good to go.
Be quiet. Be quiet. My wife made dinner. So
dinner number two when you get home.
I haven't had any pizza.
I'm glad Joe's. I'm glad Joe's down to 275.
Yeah,
he saved some pizza for me. I went up. He went down.
Last year, that pizza would have been in my locker. It would have been all gone.
What about last night? Anyway, this segment was sponsored by Regions Bank. Regions Bank. Time to expect more. Keep your questions coming. We'll continue to take your phone calls and tweets until 7 o'clock tonight. Dial the Verizon hotline at 317-639-COLT. Or you can tweet your questions at Colts Roundtable as well. We'll be back with more right after this on Colts Roundtable Live on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Welcome back to the Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group, proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com. Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light Party Zone at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bud Light Party Zone is above the north end zone in front of the windows that open to the Indianapolis skyline. Bud Light, famous among friends. Once again, here's the voice of the Colts, Bob Lamy.
Welcome back to Colts Roundtable Live. We're answering any Colts questions you may have. You can reach us on the Verizon hotline, 317-639-COLT. Or through McDonald's inbox, you can tweet your question to Colts Roundtable as well. Let's go to the Twitter questions, and we'll start with one from Greenfield Trenton. Can we expect to see more relative success against the run throughout the season, giving up 63 yards on 33 carries, 1.9 yards per carry? Or was it simply just a good outing against a bad Rams offensive line? First of all, that is not a bad offensive line, is it?
No, I think the Rams got a pretty good line, and they went out and signed Whitworth to a big deal, who's been a really good player for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I was impressed with our D-line against Gurley, a good back who, you know, that they were going to try to run the ball. But I thought Sheard and Simon especially set really good edges. I thought, you know, Simon stood out with just how hard he played yesterday. And for me, Hankins did well on the inside, and Big Al Woods as well. And it was great to see Henry Anderson back.
Yeah.
And it was great to see Henry Anderson making plays in the run game. There were a couple times when it was a quick pass by Goff, and boy, if it was a five-step, you know, drop instead of a three-step, Henry Anderson would have been there, yeah. And Hankins on a couple of those as well. So I thought that front five did a pretty good job yesterday.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game plan by the Rams, though, too. I mean, the way they attacked us in the pass and the run early in the game, getting the ball out of his hands, and then it kind of makes you feel like you can't get there. And then that's when they started to do the play action pass and kind of go down the field, get the big plays to Cup and one to the tight end, Everett. You know, they created matchups. I think they had Everett on Bostic a few times. That's a tough matchup for us. I do think the D-line played really well, especially up front. I thought they won the line of scrimmage more often than not. Mm-hmm. I think they still need to keep working as a unit. Remember, I mean, that's a brand new 11 out there.
Yep.
They need to keep working. They did a good job against the run. I think it's a little bit of one of those things where you can look at the numbers, they can be a little misleading because in the first half, you know, they had a 3.8 yard per carry average. And then when they tried to force some things in the second half just to keep the clock going, though Gurley's numbers went down a little bit. But all in all, I thought the defense with the position they were put in, having to be on the field a whole heck of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after the turnovers and the three and outs and things like that, that they did play really well. I think it would have been our defense would have played actually better if our offense would have been a little bit more complimentary.
Go ahead,
Joe. Oh, yeah, I think one specific drive that stood out to me, we have the fumble. They get the ball on the 35. That's automatic points.
Yes.
Well, we get a negative play. They get a penalty. All of a sudden, they're punting back to us, and we get the ball back, and you hold them to 0 points. I mean, that's a guaranteed three at least. So I thought that was a big drive for the defense in a sudden change situation where they stood up and played well.
Yeah, and the TY fumble, that's a great point.
All right, let's go back to the Twitters. Marquise J wants to know, why does Quincy Wilson not start on defense? Why do the defensive coaches prefer T.J. Green?
I don't think it's a preference thing. I think you got to remember, these coaches see these guys every day in every kind of situation. T.J. Green is a second-year guy. Quincy Wilson is a first-year guy, a rookie second-round pick. That could have something to do with it. You know, Quincy Wilson was a little banged up in the preseason. You didn't get to see him as much as you probably would have liked. That might have had something to do with it. You never know what the true reason for starting that guy is unless it comes from the horse's mouth and they tell you, hey, we're going with T.J. Green, or we went with T.J. Green because of this reason. I think you got a bunch of guys back there that can fill that gap. Hairston, Wilson, Green. I think it all depends on where they're at in the coach's eyes. And I feel like the size, speed of a Green versus maybe the matchup of the Rams receivers was a little bit better. But I full expect Quincy Wilson to be a starter in this league the way he did play in the preseason when he was in there. I don't think it's a preference. Man, I prefer T.J. Green over Quincy Wilson. I think it was this game, what they saw in practice, and maybe a little bit of what they were able to see from Green than Wilson in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think with all the different defenses, and Ted Modichino has a lot of great ones, which is good, but you talk about base, nickel, dime, and with Vontae out, it forces everybody else to scramble. You know, when Vontae's in there, he's locked down, he's got one of the corner spots. Now with him out, I think you're juggling different guys and trying guys out at different spots, and, you know, how are guys going to get better? They got to play, and young guys got to play, whether it's Quincy Wilson as a rookie or T.J. Green with the position switch. So just like I talked about the offensive line growing together as they get more comfortable, I'm fully confident the secondary, you know, should do the same thing and have a better performance this Sunday than we did yesterday.
All right. By the way, the Colts have ruled out three players for this week's game. Andrew Luck, we knew about that one. The other two we should have known about. Ryan Kelly is not ready to come back yet, nor is Vontae Davis. So those three players have been ruled out. So the Colts had one sack yesterday. That means that it's buy one Big Mac, get one free tonight at participating McDonald's. And download the official Colts mobile app for breaking news, alerts, audio, video, game highlights, and more, available on iTunes and Google Play. Nobody gets you closer to the Colts than CBS4. Step into the Blue Zone with Chris Hagan and Robert Mathis Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on CBS4. Time out. Robert Mathis. I can remember the days when he first came here. He didn't talk much. Now he's a great talker, knows a lot about this game, and he is fun to listen to. Not only the fact that he's fun, you'll learn a lot. Hey, when we come back, we'll close out the show by taking a few more phone calls and tweets. You're listening to Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Colts Roundtable Live, presented by Citizens Energy Group, continues. Citizens Energy Group is proud to be the Colts conservation partner. Find winning conservation tips at citizensenergygroup.com.
Colts fans, be sure to visit the Bud Light tailgate tent across the street just north of the stadium for pregame fun and $3 Bud Lights. Make the Bud Light tent your place before the game. Now here's Bob Lamy, the voice of the Colts.
Welcome back for the final time on Colts Roundtable Live. You can reach us on the Verizon hotline at 317-639-COLT or through the McDonald's inbox. You can tweet your questions to at Colts Roundtable as well. We got time for one call. Let's go to the phones. Anthony, what's on your mind?
I just want to say that thank you for all the things you three have done for the Colts over the last 10 years or more. And I just want to know why the Colts didn't dial up more exotic blitzes with safety, the corners, especially with no pass rush. And I'll let you guys go. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony.
What do you think?
You know, I think one reason is the Rams were going hurry up a lot. And so when you're going hurry up, when Goff's getting right to the line and then calling the plays and making the checks, you can't really dial up pressures because you got to play base and rush four guys because you got to get everything going in the secondary. You know, I think that's the advantage of the hurry up. And you know Jim firsthand, you know,
yeah.
You ran that for a lot of years here in Indy.
I really got to say, I'm impressed with your knowledge of things like that as an offensive lineman. I mean, I know you guys know calls and blocking schemes, but you're exactly right. I mean, you look at what the Colts were trying to do defensively. They were going to bring an extra safety down. They were going to play an extra guy in the box to try to stop the run. You saw on the first play they did that. They did a pretty good job of it. Then they started going no huddle. What did the Colts do? They went back to two high safeties.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quickest call you can get in a game in that amount of time. That's why we used to go no huddle all the time. We used to go no huddle to speed the game, to get up to the line of scrimmage so they couldn't get a call in, so we could see what they were doing in the amount of time we had to run a play and make them vanilla and very basic. And that's what the Rams did. You can kind of see when they slowed it down, started huddling, we started to get some hits on the quarterback, we started to get some pressure and things like that. But he's exactly right. The no huddle was a big, very advantageous for them as young quarterback, some electric guys, often a couple new guys in the offensive line to really kind of keep us at bay and make us very vanilla on defense.
All right, the Colts had a sack yesterday. Margus Hunt got it, and that means that tonight it's buy one Big Mac, get one free at participating McDonald's. That's all the time we have tonight on Colts Roundtable Live. Want to thank everybody for their efforts on the show tonight. Thanks go out to Chuck Pagano and Ted Monachino for joining us for the show tonight. Our engineers, Skylar Wood, producer Matt Taylor, board operator Tony Donahue, and Jim Sorgi and Joe Wright. You guys did a great job tonight. I appreciate that. And we'll also thank all the fans who called in and tweeted their questions to the show tonight as well. We'll be back next Monday night. We'll join you on the Colts Roundtable, talk about a win over the Arizona Cardinals right here on FM 107.5. And 1070 The Fan.